The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, February 5th, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Super Bowl Sunday. I didn't know until last night who was playing. That's pretty sad, isn't it? It's good to see you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ, this morning. Announcements are in your bulletin. I encourage let us know that truly God has gave us this day. We do not know yet how it will unfold. We have our plans. We kind of have an idea of how we think things will go today. But let us be open to the leading of the Spirit, where God would have this day go and us to go with God. For today is truly the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as we come before you today, we come with hearts of thanksgiving and praise, thanking you and praising you for your love, your grace, and your mercy that sustains us, empowers us, and lets us face the days unafraid. May we truly now worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak of God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, the word of God for the people of God.
Take out your sheets, or not. Get you a pencil and you can fill in the blanks as we go. But before we get to the blanks, we've got to cover a little turf and territory. The verse that I really would want you to take away from this that really I think gives me a lot of encouragement in my journey is actually verse 9. And it's a quote from Isaiah 64, rephrased Pauline-wise. And that is what no eye has seen. In other words, spiritually, the heart of man cannot imagine. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart, no human way to imagine what God has prepared for us. And folks, I'm not talking about when we get to heaven. I'm not talking about a long time down the road. We'll be back in just a moment. As we look at this text, there are some old words in here, and I want to kind of get at them a little bit. One of them is in verse 12, and it's the word bestowed. Bestowed. A great friend of mine back in the Carolinas, who was actually my professor of Methodist doctrine in polity, Don Haynes, great man. Oh, how I loved him, and his wife was so sweet, and I had the pleasure. They had been married for 50 years, and Don was a picture taker. You know, he was picture taker. I don't know, like 1,900 pictures of their life together, and Don had been in ministry. He had went to Duke and got his Master's of Divinity at Duke Divinity School, and he had been a superintendent in the Methodist Church, and he had served churches straight out of seminary and during seminary, and him and his wife, and they'd raised two kids, and they had pictures of all this stuff, and Don wanted to do something for that 50th anniversary. He wanted to do a PowerPoint, but Don had no idea. He said, I do good to turn the computer on. He said, and I visited Don's house. He said, let me show you how technologically advanced I am. And he had a word processor. How many of you remember those? Amber screen? It was just a deluxe typewriter. I mean, it really wasn't anything more than a typewriter. He said, this is how technologically advanced I am. But I've bought this computer. So we unboxed this thing, and together, Don, his wife, and I, we sat down, took all of his pictures, scanned them in, digitized them, and all of that stuff. But Don was a great guy. And I got a call. He wanted me to go with him to Duke. And I said, why? I really didn't want to go to Duke. It was a long drive. He said, it's something special. Wear something preachery. I said, okay. Preachery it is. So I go and meet Don, and Don and I drive down to Duke, and he said, we got to go to dinner first. And I hadn't finished my master's or anything at that point, and I was a student local pastor, full-time student local pastor, and I go out to dinner with three bishops, dean of divinity school. This was Dr. Wright, N.T. Wright. I love his stuff. I meet him at this dinner. I've admired him from afar, and I'm not talking about the one that burns distance, you know, and just these great theological minds are all around this table. And you know what I felt like? Pretty insignificant and honored to be there. And you know what the meeting was about? They were about to do something to Don Haynes. And I was in the room when they began to one by one go to the microphone and talk about Don's contributions to students, the church, lives. Each one from Dr. Wright to Stanley Hiawatha, and I know these people you don't know, but believe me, they're up there. And then Greg Jones, who was then the dean of the divinity school, stood up and said, Mr. Haynes, would you come forward? Tonight, we nominate you. And on June 3rd or 4th, we shall bestow upon you the degree of honorary doctorate of divinity. From your life's works and your donations to the community of faith, we will bestow upon you this degree. Don became Dr. Haynes. He's still Don to me. With every right and privilege that academic achievement would have awarded him was bestowed upon him. He had invested in it, though, hadn't he? But he received that degree. It's that idea of bestowed. That which is given because of a recognition of something done, something sacrificed, something submitted. And then in that love and grace and that recognition of that, then something is bestowed upon us. And verse 12 is where we come to. It's on your sheet. It's in the reading. But verse 12, and this is where I want us to come to this morning, is in verse 12, Paul writes to them, now we have received. Something has been given. We have taken it. We've taken it. We've got it in here. Not the spirit of the world. It's different, folks. Christians are different. We're called apart. We're peculiar people. Odd. We're different. We're set apart. We're sanctified. We're different. The outside world, our conversation makes no sense to them. When you say to most lost people out there in the world, I believe in Jesus as my Savior, they go, what from? You know? It takes a little bit to get there with them. And sometimes even then they argue it out and they don't want to see it and it's too far and it's just foolishness, really. Strange and odd. And it is the Spirit, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God. Here comes the bestower, right? Here comes the one that is going to give us something, right? We're going to receive something. Something's going to be given, and we're going to receive it so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. That bestowing of gifts and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and everything, there's something that has to come first. And your first two blanks is simple, I think. The first thing that has to happen is we have to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Not one or the other. If He's your Savior, and not your Lord, he's not your Savior. You can't have your pie and eat it too. You can't just get the fire insurance and the get out of hell free card. Don't come that way. Jesus has to be Lord and Savior. Pastor, what do I mean by that? Exactly what I meant. You're serving God in Christ's name. He's Lord of your life. And as we accept Jesus, we have to sacrifice something, don't we? We have to humble ourselves and admit that we're a sinner in need of a Savior, in need of His grace. And we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that ushers in that God then bestows upon us because of the shed blood of His Son, because of our acceptance of that gift of love and grace on that cross, because of that empty tomb. So here's where we come to the question today, and is, on what does our faith rest? I've been in the church a long time, and I've watched fads come and go. You know churches have fads, right? We have gimmicky things. One of the best gimmicky things we ever had was the Vision 2000 program. How many of you remember that? It was pretty darn successful when it was done right, and it was about to bring in people into the church and everything else. We should probably dust that puppy off and reuse it. It was pretty effective. But then we had this spirit gifts thing. How many of you remember that? Kind of swept the Christian community. You know, you took all these tests. You took the workbook, and you looked at all that stuff, and it said you had a spirit of prayer and giving and generosity. You had this whole list of 60 or 70 gifts, and you could be heavy in prayer, and then you go take it again. You'd be, but it gave you that inventory. But all of that inventory comes from someplace. Our faith has to have a foundation, and Jesus Christ is that foundation. Jesus is that chief cornerstone. Our faith begins in Jesus, and it begins as that chief cornerstone. It's in Christ, and that is the first foundation block. We've checked those boxes off, right? Then we have what I like to call the five pillars. These next five are the pillars out of which all of the spiritual gifts will grow. These are the things that God bestows upon us that causes us to have a place for our faith to rest, to reside, to build on. So here they go. As Christian disciples, our faith is based on five basic areas. Got my notes, you can fill them in. God's first one is love. God's love, that's where it begins. With the acknowledgement that God loves us. Despite our faults, despite our failures, despite our shortcomings, despite the fact that we'd like to not be seen always, and God still loves us. Despite making mistakes and getting it wrong, despite losing our temper, or saying the wrong thing, or not doing what we should, or not saying something when we could have. God's love is not conditional. He gives it to us. It's bestowed upon us. As we accept His Son, that love grows into more than just a love that is distant. But it becomes a love that's unshakable. Paul will later write, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nakedness, famine, peril, sword, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That is the big stone that's laid. And it's God's love for us. The next one is, you need to know this, if you don't already, God's plan for you. Well, Pastor, does that mean I'm predestined? No. He does have some things out there for you. How many of you have ever been to a banquet that was prepared for you, for your sports team or for your college, a banquet that was prepared for you? Do you know what I like best about banquets? Food. I love it when the banquet buffet takes at least a minute to look at. That's where I start. I don't know about anybody else. When I get to a banquet, the first thing I do is I cruise by the buffet bar, you know. I cruise by the food. Sometimes they have that foo-foo food. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But sometimes you'll get a real banquet where they'll have stuff like fried chicken, tilapia breaded and deep fried. You'll get into where they have green beans. Instead of those sliced up skinny little things that were cooked in a little bit of olive oil, no, they'll have them dripping with butter and salt and pepper, you know, good stuff. That's why I have six stents. But every buffet, you have a choice, don't you? You don't have to eat everything on the buffet. It was prepared that you would have all of those options. And God has prepared things for us. God has a plan for us that has been prepared for us. You need to know that God isn't just with you, and He can do this because He's Spirit. He isn't with you. He's preparing the way for you. God says that He'll take care of everything we want, right? I like that look my wife just gave me. Did you see it? No, He says He'll take care of your needs. He knows what you need. As difficult as it is, sometimes we need training in the finer things of life. When I was at Dr. Haynes's banquet and they were getting ready and talking, they wasn't roasting him, but they were, you know, singing his praises, getting ready to move to this big event. I had to go to the bathroom. I was raised poor as dirt, folks. We didn't have anything. If we had two dimes, it didn't belong to us. Somebody, we owed somebody both of them. When I went to the bathroom, there was carpet. I had never been in a bathroom with carpet in my life. Never. It was different. It was different. Why did I need to go through this? Because as Dr. Haynes, he would become, heard all of these accolades of his life, as all of these people of notoriety said what they had noticed about Don, I watched a man in humility. And I borrowed the words that Don would take to the podium and say next. With tears running down his face, I do not stand here alone. God has brought me here through many days of joy and many days of stress. God prepared the way for me to be here through the good and through the bad, the way was prepared. So I don't stand here today and receive this great honor thinking I got here on my own. But many people, though not present, surround me on this platform. My friends, that's part of being a Christian community. We don't travel this way alone. Many people are part of our lives, aren't they? And they support us. God's plan for us is to be part of life and part of that community. And He avails us. Do you think it's coincidence you're here this morning? Or maybe you think you planned it, you know? Maybe God placed it for you. So it's God's love. And God's, what does God's plan include for you? That you are prepared for all things, the good and the bad. It's what you need, not what you want. God's plan is whatever comes in your way of life is to prepare you for what you need. That we would be all well equipped, Paul would later write. The third one is, I like this one, maybe as good as all of them, God's unlimited. You need to write these two words out. Unlimited provision. Unlimited provision for us. The Bible says, and he opens the windows of heaven and wants to pour out a blessing on us. God has unlimited provision for us. We just have to accept it. We have to ask for it. We have to be a part of it. We have to embrace it. The table is set. The buffet is laid out. We have to step up. We have to accept that which God has bestowed upon us. And in humility, I would watch Dr. Haynes be stoled with his honorary doctorate and with tears of humility kneel. Do you see many people receive a doctorate on their knees? No. But Dr. Haynes did. As he received in humility this degree, we should receive in humility God's unlimited provisions. For whatever we're going through, God is sufficient. Paul would ask God, why can't this ailment be taken away? And God would tell Paul three times, my grace is sufficient. Whatever you face in your life, God's provision is unlimited. The fourth one, and you need to get this one, is God's personal knowledge of us. He knows the number of the hair on your head. He knows the dreams of your heart that have long been forgotten. But he knows your struggles. He knows your weaknesses. And he offers his love, his plan, his unlimited provision, knowing you better than you know yourself. You have no real idea what joy is until you let God fulfill it for you. It's a joy that can't be taken away. And it may not be anything you ever imagined. It may be the simplest thing. I don't know what version of this I've told you before, and I know I'm going long. I was raised in the mountains of western North Carolina. Green everywhere. Trees to climb. Crab apples growing on a hillside. You know where they were. Buckeyes. Chinkapins, blueberries. Blackberries, strawberries. Green trees. Never in my wildest dream, Donna told me on a Skype. Do you remember what you told me? On my interview, she told me this is not the prettiest part of Wyoming. This is high desert, barren, dirt, and blue collar. I said, I'm not coming on vacation. Do you know what? When I go back east, all of that bothers me now. I start suffocating as soon as I can't see the next town 22 miles down the road. It feels like all of that green's going to get on me. And then the stickiness sets in. All of that, you know, I had no idea that I would find beauty in a high desert in Wyoming. But God did. You see, God went before me. God went before you. God is before you now, but he's with you too. Because he knows you better than you ever did. He hasn't forgotten your dreams. He hasn't forgotten those things that you had longed for so long ago. He may have kept you from getting some of them, because you better need them. Give him a chance. His resources are unlimited. And the fifth one, can't overlook, God's presence with us. That's unique to the Christian faith. As Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's presence with us through the Holy Spirit. That's unique to us. I think it's pretty awesome myself. I am one prayer out of the presence of Almighty God. No, guess what? He's with me. Do you get that? He's with you right now. You don't have to go get him. You don't have to go hunt him. You don't have to go find him. He is with you. If he isn't with you, it's you that have left him out somewhere. He is with you every moment if you let him, because of his love. He is present with you. Now, here, out there at work, school, wherever you may be, God is with you. These gifts, and I borrowed this from Beth Moore. Got to give her credit for this, because these are important. These five things, there are more things. And I can't get into all of it because time's got away. But we are allowed to see them and understand them by God's grace because of the next two words. Because it says, these gifts are alive and active. That's Beth Moore. I borrowed that because it's good. If it's good, it's okay, and I'm giving her credit for it. But God's gifts are alive and active in us through, the next part, the Holy Spirit. God's gifts to us are not stuffy things to set on a shelf, but they are alive and active in us. And at this table to which we will come, we believe that God is present. And God makes this become for us the body and the blood of Christ. We don't know how. Wesley called it a holy mystery, but God does it. God's gifts are alive and active in us. And finally, these gifts are available to all who would believe. And it's not up to us to say who that is. It isn't up to the church to decide who is, who isn't, who gets, who don't, who gets which one, who gets which whatevers. That's God's job, not ours. Now, what does all of this mean? This is closing. Verse 13 is where you would go next. All of this, this foundation gives us a new way of speaking, and I'm not talking about in unknown tongues, but it gives us a way of speaking in love and grace and peace and patience to encourage and lift each other up, not tear down and destroy, but to lift each other up. It's the application of this which we have received. It's a new way of sharing the good news. It's a good way of saying to someone, I know things are difficult now, but God is with you. It is a way of saying to them, not only is God with you, but check it out, I'm here too. You're not alone. It is a new way of sharing the good news. It is a new way of encouraging, not tearing down. That's what the world does. The world finds critics. Why in the world must we have critics? Why can't we have some people that are praisers? You know, why can't we have somebody that takes 30 minutes of the negative and 1 hour of the good and talk about it for a little while? The Christian should be that which encourages people in the midst of the... You don't encourage people by telling them how your aunt or uncle died from the same disease. Okay? That's not very encouraging. It may be true, but it isn't encouraging. It isn't encouraging to someone to tell them how many mistakes they made. It's encouraging someone to say, I know you made a few mistakes, but let's move on. I know you've made some mistakes because guess who's in the forgiveness business? And we're called to forgive too, right? It gives us not only a way of new spirit, but a new way of seeing things. When something bad happens, Christians should have a different set of glasses for it. When tragedy strikes and the news is bad, Christians should have a new way of looking at it. We should have a new way to view it. We should see God at work. We should see that even in that which we're being tried in, God's got something for us. In the midst of the darkness or in the midst of the light, God is there. A new way of seeing things. A new way of viewing our life circumstances. God is ever changing, and God may be changing things in our life, and we need to step out of our comfort zones. Sometimes we need to be inconvenienced. Sometimes we need to go the extra mile. Sometimes we need to lay our agenda down and pick up God's agenda, which is to encourage and to be there and to be a part of people's lives. Sometimes it isn't easy and it isn't convenient. We should need to see God at work around us. He's not just about us. He's about others. Sometimes we're Job. Sometimes we're the only Bible someone else reads. The other thing that it does is all these spiritual gifts, this book you call the Bible, becomes alive. This thing becomes so significant in your life and so informative that it's unreal. Our life experiences, and we begin living a life of expectation and hope, not in the temporary, but in the eternal. Those are the things on which our faith is based, and they are on the gifts of God's love and grace. May we know today that that is on which our faith is based. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace and peace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. May you stand upon the promises. May you enjoy God's bestowed gifts upon you. And may they truly be a foundation on which your faith can rest. Now go in peace and grace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.